Last November, for the first time in 2 years, founders from all over the world came to Chicago for one reason: to pitch our investors on the comeback season of The Pitch.
Uh-huh. Pitch number one.
For our first episode back, a founder all the way from Barcelona walks into the pitch room with a massive vision to help solve one of the most important problems of our time, energy. Using something that millions of people have just sitting in their garage. The founder, Lewis, is at square one, and he needs venture capitalists to make it all happen. But in the pitch room today, a question arises. Who's to say this first-time founder can actually beat his competition at their own game? I'm Josh Muccio, and you're listening to The Pitch, where real founders pitch real investors for real money.
I'm Neil Salas Griffin, Managing Director here at Techstars Chicago, and I'm happy to welcome you all to my city.
I'm Elizabeth Yin, and I'm a General Partner at Hustle Fund.
I'm Charles Hudson, Managing Partner, Precursor Ventures.
I'm Jillian Manis, Managing Partner of Structure Capital.
I'm Keira McConnell II. Most people call me Mac, and if you follow me on Twitter, it's Mac the VC.
The Pitch for Tether is coming up right after this. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's where State Farm Small Business Insurance comes in. State Farm agents are small business owners themselves, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. The information provided on this show is not intended to be investment advice and should not be relied upon as such. The investors on today's episode are providing their opinions based on their own assessment of the business presented. Those opinions should not be considered professional investment advice.
Hello.
Hey, Charles.
Lewis.
Nice to meet you.
Mac.
Hey, Lewis.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you guys.
All right. So, yeah. Hello. My name is Lewis. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Tether. But before I was an entrepreneur, I was actually a renewable energy engineer. And I couldn't think of anything more worthwhile than building renewable energy projects and contributing towards the fight against climate change. Mm. So my job was to design solar panel projects that would help clients go green, save money on their electricity bill, and sell some power back to the grid. And my designs always got approved, but about 80% of my projects were never built. And it wasn't because the clients didn't want them. It was because the grid simply couldn't handle the power that we were injecting back from the solar panels. So the solution here would have been to add energy storage, batteries. But batteries are really expensive, and oftentimes they kill the economics of the project. And this was super frustrating for me, because I was trying to do something that was good for the planet, and I was spending all this time and effort building these projects, and they were dead on arrival. But what if I told you that there are 130 million potential batteries that are completely suitable for this type of application that are sitting there unused for 95% of the time? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Do you want to give it a guess?
EVs?
This is a fascinating EVs. Yeah.
So a typical car is parked for 95% of the time. So when it comes to an electric vehicle, that's basically just a big battery that happens to have wheels. And with 130 million electric vehicles being sold in Europe alone in the next 10 years, that's 130 million potential batteries that could be used to reinforce the power grid, substitute fossil fuel power plants, and allow more renewable energy on the network. But more importantly, they could be used to allow regular, everyday people to actively participate in the green transition while extending the vehicle's battery and getting paid for it. And that's exactly what Tether does. Tether is a cloud-hosted SaaS platform that uses machine learning to intelligently manage the charging and discharging of electric vehicles that are parked all throughout a city. So we are gearing up.
Charging and discharging, so there's a risk that you would draw down. If my EV is plugged in, there's a risk you would draw down.
I'm going to address that in a second.
Yeah. I can't drive home.
Range anxiety.
We've totally thought about that.
I figured you had.
So, charging and discharging in the future, the vehicles in the garage is going to be like a giant power plant. we're ready to launch our product. We have a commercial agreement with a major EV charging company in Sweden. And so we're raising $1.5 million to get there.
So I'm curious about Charles's question.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you interrupt the charging, doesn't that affect the vehicle?
Not really. So the service that we're performing is minimally impacting the vehicle's batteries. At most, we charge or discharge for 15 minutes. Hmm. The market
just
works.
To balance it back
yeah,
out.
Yeah, exactly. It's just to give enough time to the grid operator to be able to ramp up other power plants.
Is it sort of charger network dependent, and is it vehicle dependent?
And hardware. What additional hardware do you need? Yeah.
So the idea is that we don't want to install additional hardware. We are a software company. And what we want to do is connect to the charge point operator's software via an API and basically get the information we need as far as how much battery is available in each one. We aggregate that, and then we coordinate thousands of vehicles to charge or discharge at the same time according to all of those factors.
So you mentioned your first customer being this large power plant or...
Is it a utility?
Utility?
No.
In Sweden?
Yeah, so we're going to start in Sweden. There's a million reasons why. Sweden's electric vehicle market is 120% year-on-year growth right now. It's at around 40-something percent of all vehicles being sold today are electric. And they're going to have 3 million vehicles sold before 2030. But the way we make money is we participate in existing balancing electrical markets. We're a backup to the grid. And so what we do is we say, look, we have, 2,000 vehicles available and standing by. Those vehicles account for 10 megawatts or whatever. And there's a price for that power. So we bid into the market and we get paid for just standing by.
So walk me through, though, like, how do you get to those customers to pay you for that?
So the customer doesn't pay us, the grid pays us. And the key here is that we get paid even if the grid didn't need us during those hours. We like to say we're like the bodyguard of the grid, right? You pay for a security person who is outside of your business. And if nothing happens, you still pay them, right? So that's the way it works.
Are you charging like a SaaS fee of some sort, or how do you think
about it? I guess you could say the SaaS fee is like the utility grid operator is the one that's paying us continuously to have this capacity available.
But you're really operating in the spot market, basically.
The balancing market.
The balancing market.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Okay. And so what we do is we go to the owners and we tell them, look, we made, €5 off of your vehicle. Here's €1 back. So you're essentially turning their vehicle into a passive source of revenue. And that's how we incentivize them to join the network. We're helping the grid. We're getting money for it. And everyone's happy.
So as far as starting in traction, what does the sales process look like for you right now?
So actually, if we go through these CPOs, the charge point operators, or the OEMs that don't have the functionality that we're providing but want to have that on their software, we can partner with them. We add that to their software, and we get access to thousands of EVs that are already using their software. That way, we can expand much more quickly. We have two letters of intent, right? I mentioned one of them was with a major EV charging company. So it's exactly...
Here or there?
In Sweden.
Yeah, that one. Okay.
Non-binding.
So it's an LOI.
It's an LOI. Yes. Okay. So we're pre-product, pre-revenue. We're developing the software.
Okay.
But basically, what that would look like is they already have about 3,000 EVs. And so if we integrate to the software, we already have way more than the minimum to participate. The other LOI is with a battery energy company. And basically, we would have a giant stationary battery, and we would have that in parallel with the EVs. So we have the mm-hmm. stationary capacity that doesn't come and go.
So when does it get real, and how long does it take to get there?
We want to have those two pilots next year. So our goal was Q2 of 2023. That's a little bit ambitious, so maybe it gets pushed back a little bit, but definitely our 2023 goals is to have those two pilots deployed and have our first commercial operation.
So I'm asking, I guess, is what are the inputs? What are the key milestones between now and Q2 of 2023?
Okay. We want to hire a couple of key developers to get the code that we have running right now to pilot stage deploy. We have to get approval from the utility grid to operate in that market. So we've already started the talks there. And then it's just a matter of starting to see how aggressive we can be with the bids. And then that's what the pilot projects are for, right? You see how much money you can make, how aggressive you can be, and then you participate in the market freely.
I just want to recognize how plugged in the investors are right now. And for good reason. This is everything VCs want in a pitch. A massive market, a massive problem, and an industry ripe for disruption. But there's one big thing that hasn't come up yet, the competition. Here's Elizabeth.
How do you think about the future? Like the Ford F-150 mm-hmm. often sells that this idea that, oh, you could charge your house for 2 days with that. And I don't know, if more car manufacturers move in that model, then does that effectively leave you out?
No. It's actually a great thing. So first of all manufacturers are going to be V2G. Like any car manufacturer in the future that doesn't have that is going to be at a significant competitive disadvantage compared to the ones that do. But what you mentioned about the Ford F-150, basically what they're doing is they're discharging their battery on their house, right?
Yeah.
Right. But they're not coordinating that with the grid. They're not actively participating on those markets. Any vehicle that is electric, we can control to participate there. And I think people are going to want this type of service because it allows them to generate revenue passively.
I hate to be that VC who's like, well, what if this big company does it? But it almost seems like a natural jump for any of these companies
or utility
that will make this possible on their end as well.
So I don't think so. Here's the tricky part about, you know, participating in this market, right? So in the US, each grid has its own laws and its own regulations of how you operate, and in Europe as well. So if you are a vehicle manufacturer, you would have to have software that knows where the vehicle is and changes the way you bid into the market and the way you operate for every single transmission system operator, distribution system operator. That's a big hassle. What we are doing, like, that is our business. So we are going to know the inside outs of those markets. And that's how we, I think, remain competitive.
Is yeah. anyone else piloting or doing this in any other country or geo? Or is this like a truly novel?
I think there's definitely other competitors. So the difference between us and our competitors is a lot of people are aggregating other sorts of loads. So, for example, heat pumps,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, industrial loads like servers, etc. Mm-hmm. What makes us different is we're targeting these electric vehicles, private electric vehicles. So everyone has their own schedule, right? So this is a scheduling challenge. Mm-hmm. But by doing so, that enables us to get access to this huge market.
Where is your company domiciled? Is it a Delaware C Corp? Is it based in Sweden? Where is your company based?
We're registered in Sweden. Martim and I are currently living in Barcelona developing the code. Mm-hmm. My co-founder is Martim. Martim is a mechanical engineer. So we both have dual masters in renewable energy engineering. Mm. So what we're going to do is we're going to have two offices. We're going to have one in Sweden, one in Barcelona. But we're certainly open to the United States. I think it's a huge market. And the reason we're starting in Sweden is because today there's already 40%, you know, vehicle penetration. The
US,
it
seems easier.
Yeah. Seems easier. Yes.
It makes sense that Tether is based in Sweden, but when Mac asked if they were a Delaware C Corp, he was wanting to know if the legal entity of Tether is a US-based business. It's not yet, but Lewis seems pretty open to that. Here's Elizabeth.
What are the terms of this round?
So we're actually kind of open to negotiations. So.
Have you raised any money to date?
We have a small business angel network that's invested. But that's it.
What were the terms that they were?
It's a safe, and it was like 10K, so it wasn't too much, but just
it. Did it have a cap on it?
No cap.
But you're willing to do a safe with a cap?
Yeah, we're willing to do a safe, we're willing to do equity.
Elizabeth, do you have any investors in Sweden? Do you have any boots on the ground there, or...?
We do not.
Okay.
But I guess on along those lines, so here are my thoughts on it. Coincidentally, in 2002, I did a project called Mobile Energy with a very large battery maker in Japan. And essentially, we were exploring this, where the idea of you can take your car, you park it at work, your car may be able to help kind of power the building for your work. Basically, they were exploring whether that would be feasible. And the TLDR is, when we gave our presentation to the executives at the end, our primary assumption was around what the price of gas would need to be in order for this to actually be reasonable. We told them our number, which today the average price of gas is way higher, but back then everyone laughed us out of the room because they were like, gas will never get above this. It now is way past that. So I am inclined to be very excited about this idea, having spent like an entire quarter on this project. I think the things that probably concern me are around the competition. I'm not sure I fully agree that Ford would not venture into this, but mm-hmm. That's a bet I'm willing to make. So I think, assuming we can get to terms on valuation, I'm in for 50K.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
So I'm on the board of a company called Populous that provides urban, works with cities to basically redefine curb use, help them manage fleets, e-bikes, micromobility, everything. And so I also think you will end up getting a lot of support from governments.
Yeah.
At the state and local level to do this. I think this is super interesting. I'd like to do 25 with one caveat just around corporate structure.
Mm-hmm.
As Elizabeth knows, as a U.S. investor, when you have non-Delaware C-Corp companies, the end of year, basically I spend 90% of my time on my audit on the three companies that are not based in the United States. PFIC.
Yeah, I would also love to make this ask, like, see if you're open to converting to a U.S. company, that would make it slam dunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Barcelona. It's probably my favorite city in the world. So keep the development there. It's just more of a structural thing. Yeah. I don't think.
Excuse me. I'm just getting a little bit dizzy right now. Do you mind if I just.
You okay?
You okay?
Low blood sugar? Do you want a blood sugar?
I think I'm a little low blood sugar.
Yeah, let's get you a candy bar.
Candy bar.
In the other
room.
Or
Lewis is looking a little ghostly sitting on the floor. Thankfully, he didn't actually pass out. We scrambled to get him a chair, Gatorade, candy. I mean, anything to get his blood sugar up.
You want an IV drip?
Thank you. Dude, sign me up for that. You got
please.
I'll take one of those.
Those are great.
So did you fly here from Europe?
Yeah, I was in Barcelona 2 days ago.
Have a little bit more. Just drink a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming all the way over here.
No, it's great to be here, honestly. Yeah. I confess, I don't know if I would be starting my company if it wasn't for the pitch, actually. When I was kind of considering this crazy idea, I was listening to this podcast, listening to you guys asking the questions, and I would be pausing the podcast, pretending that it was being like the questions were being asked to me. So people thought I was crazy, but because I was muttering to myself. But
well, here you are.
Here I am. Yeah. So I'm super happy.
So I think there is something here, and I think the utility companies right now are really grappling for so many different solutions. I'm going to put 25 in. I think it's critical that we're all leaning into this space right now. I think you're all onto something very, very smart. And I love also your demeanor. I love your transparency. I do like the fact that you were so open to making this Delaware Corp so fast, which obviously does make it easier. And truthfully, if you didn't, I would be struggling just a bit. So it was worth the trip. Keep drinking.
So I have a restriction for one of the two funds that I can invest through. You have to be a U.S.-based company for my pre-seed fund called Rising Stars through TechStars. But assuming that is something that happens, you can count on a commitment later.
Okay.
And we can talk through what that looks like.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
How much did you go in for, Charles?
I have 25. I might end up increasing it later.
So you're 25, Elizabeth?
50.
Me, 25.
You got the 100 already.
Rounding up.
I guess I'm in. Pending that Delaware C Corp, because if you're not a Delaware C Corp, like I'm not, like I do North America, South America, the UK, and even then that's kind of tough. So if you're a Delaware C Corp, I'm in. Dollar amount. I'll match Charles. I'll match Elizabeth. I'll go with 50.
Okay.
I'll go with 50.
That was a good change up in one sentence. You went from 25 to 50 right there. You almost made the man pass out with all these numbers, y'all.
50, yeah.
Keep drinking the Gatorade.
Yeah. So hold on. Lewis, you've got four investors here that want to do a deal with you. Is it worth talking about terms?
Yeah.
I'm two of the big checks.
Right. What do you see this? How do you value it?
Your pre-product, pre-revenue, starting in Sweden. If you told me you were doing a note on a $4 million post money, that's easy. Like, I'd do that all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
I would be in at four, for sure.
So we can do this right now.
Four posts.
So that gets you the fundraising momentum.
Yes.
We will all introduce you to a boatload of people, so that's you'll have enough like people to close the rest.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll get you plugged in, man.
Okay,
there's a lot.
We got you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Wonderful.
Lewis is visibly speechless. So much so, he could only communicate with his thumbs. To be clear, it's two thumbs way up.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Take your time.
Yeah, rest up.
I'm feeling much better.
That was actually just a ruse to get you guys to.
That's good.
Well done.
There we go.
Right. We got a deal. Now you got to work on the Delcor, which is super
easy. Mm-hmm. That's easy.
Yeah, we can help you with that. All right. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you guys.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Lewis walks out of the room fully charged up on Gatorade and cash. All five investors want a piece of Tether for a total of at least $150,000.
That was interesting.
That's a cool trip to...
Yeah, no joke.
Oh, yeah.
I love the fact that he came here all the way from Barcelona.
That's so cool.
I mean, you talk about conviction.
Founders will do whatever it takes to get some money.
I'm going to do whatever it takes.
I'm assuming that's like a rarity. Everybody says.
We've had a couple clean sweeps, not that many.
I mean,
yeah.
You all invested, I think, in 30 minutes.
Less than 30 minutes.
Yeah. Like, why was this such an obvious yes?
First of all, there's people in this room who are smarter about this than I am. They were all saying yes, so that made my ears perk up. But secondly, we know that there's going to be a proliferation of EV cars. We also know that the proliferation of EV cars is actually going to put a lot of strain on the grid. If you can make the argument that the EV cars actually support it, that actually makes the idea of having all the cars in the U.S. more viable. And if you tell me, as somebody who has an EV car, I'm going to save you $25 on your electric bill, hey, that makes a big difference. Now, admittedly, I want to dive into the competitors, but if he can make it work in Sweden, even if he doesn't get to the U.S., if he can own the Europe,
yeah, great.
Still a big company.
Yeah, I just think also, I just think about it from a distribution standpoint. I don't believe these charge operators want five different software systems. Yeah. They're going to pick one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if he can make it work, he has a chance to be an early winner and lock up a bunch of distribution that will be very difficult, if not impossible, for someone else to come and take away from him.
Oh, here's a question. Can you run your SPV on this for a small allocation?
Elizabeth is actually asking me that question. If you remember from episode 101, we're starting our own fund and a syndicate, aka SPV, that lets listeners invest in companies alongside the investors on our show.
Could this be like your first investment?
Yeah, can this be your first investment?
I mean, that's what I want to do, yeah.
Okay. So maybe ask him to save you some allocation.
Yeah.
If he's doing 500, maybe we do 250, and they do 250 in SPV.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Oh, now we're going to fight each other for allocation on this.
Y'all fight. I'm going to throw some chairs.
I barely have any money, so
I think
that's the kind of stuff my wife would like.
Yeah.
She don't got no money, but
yeah.
If she did.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I mean, if we're not investing in this, then shame on us, truthfully. And this is exactly where we should put our bets.
Yeah. I'm excited about this. But also, thank you, guys. That just makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you, Lisa, for seeing this. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, you should do the SPV on this one.
Good fun. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Very gratifying.
This was the perfect pitch. Lewis had everything going for him. But after the break, will this be the first deal we do out of the pitch fund? Or will something as simple as where the company is based kill the whole deal?
If it was the Swedish company, would you still be willing to invest?
Coming up, things get complicated. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. We talk to a lot of entrepreneurs on the show, and one thread that connects them all, they're not just pitching their business, they're pitching themselves. Because small business owners know that their business is more than just a company, it's their whole life. And State Farm gets that. State Farm agents are small business owners too, and they know what it takes. They can help you choose personalized policies that fit your budget. That's the personal touch. That's small business insurance from State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Welcome back. A week after the pitch for Tether, Elizabeth and Lewis jumped on their first due diligence call. She asked a bunch of really hard and thoughtful questions about the concerns she had, mostly around the competition. By the end of the call, she was ready to cut a check for $50,000.
Okay, well, I think those are all my questions. I've asked you guys a lot of questions. Is there anything I can answer for you?
The first thing is probably shows a little bit of my inexperience or naivete, and then you can correct me if I'm wrong.
So in the show, one of the discussion points was about the Delaware C Corp, which I said I was totally open to. So the only thing is, I just have to check then what the implications are as far as the investors that we're talking to. I know some of the VCs and stuff that we're talking to, and some of the business angels only invest in Swedish companies. So I just have to see if they would be, you know, what are the implications here? I believe in the pitch, you know, you said you were going to invest before the Delaware C company came up. So if it was the Swedish company, would you still be willing to invest? I mean, and I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm just trying to see what right?
So I'll tell you the complication. The complication is something called PFIC. I'm not going to go into the details in the interest of time, but it's like a U.S. government issue. But basically, the U.S. doesn't want people money laundering outside the United States. So we've invested in a number of foreign entities, but when we do, we have to jump through a lot of hoops. So I think that's like a regulatory thing that I would need to kind of figure out, because we've had a lot of complications with some of our other foreign investments as well. So that's my wishy-washy answer of I would need to look into that. If in the case that we cannot do it out of Hustle Fund, I would be happy to write you a $5,000 personal check. But that doesn't move the needle for you, I realize.
Right. But that's fine. I mean, I'm not saying that we wouldn't open a C Corp. I'm just saying, you know, we have to look at the implications and verify with all the other investors and stuff.
After the call, Elizabeth introduced Lewis to a lawyer that could help them make the change to a C Corp. As for the other investors, Jillian decided that she was out. She realized she didn't know enough about the space to help Tether as much as she'd like. The rest of the investors were still interested, but only if Lewis converted Tether to that Delaware C Corp. Needless to say, I was eager to see where they landed. A few weeks later, Neil from Techstars Chicago and I hopped on another call with Lewis.
Are you guys going to open up a Delaware C Corp or what? What's going on?
Yeah, that's the never-ending struggle of our lives. So here's the rundown. We were holding off. We were speaking to a couple of investors in Europe. What we then said was we want to also get into the Techstars program. So Techstars Stockholm, we applied there. We said this is perfect because it seems like Techstars Stockholm, they want you to do a Delaware C Corp, and then we can have our cake and eat it too. So we can have the European investors, we can have the American investors. We'll be on Techstars and everyone will be happy. We'll be happy. However, there is a new thing that's happening right now, which complicates things a bit. So Techstars Berlin, they contacted us, and basically they're doing a program that is a vertical only for companies in the EV space, which is great. And it's in conjunction with an Audi accelerator. Now, here's the wrench in the gearbox. This is the only Techstars that we know of where they specifically only want European companies. They don't want a Delaware C Corp. All the other ones want, right? And so now it's like, oh God, we were already like, things were lining up, and now this kind of gear in the wrench.
Well, one way that might kind of really flesh this out is like, what are the factors that would go into you deciding to move forward with a Delaware C Corp?
Well, for example, part of the reason why our investors want us to open up in the US is because the amount of effort that they have to do for tax purposes and stuff is much less. But that also is the opposite for us, right? If we now have a multinational company that has to be we're a very early stage startup that's going to be in three countries in two continents. That's a lot of things that we don't fully understand, but that's why we have our advisor. But he's saying like, look, this is not the easiest, like this is not a simple open up a company and do this.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously you guys have to choose what's best for you all. But I think that if you're wanting to raise from a lot of US-based investors, you're going to have better success if you have that Delaware C Corp set up.
It doesn't sound like he wants to. It doesn't sound like it he doesn't. Wants to, Josh. Yeah. That's not what we're hearing.
Well, so it's not that I don't want to. Like, I want to, right? Like, I'm Lewis Medina. I want to, right? Like, but at the same time, I have to understand, like, okay, we are in Europe and operations are in Europe, and the connections that we need right now and the people that we're going to be operating with are in Europe. So
strategic benefit is staying in Europe from how you're thinking about it and framing it.
Yeah, because for every door you open, like if we move to the US, we open a lot of doors, but we also close a lot right. in Europe, right? And so, and I know that in the long term, maybe, you know, like it maybe it's easier to raise money for higher, like for other rounds in the US in the future. But for now, we like, you have to look at the goal that's directly in front of you. And what is the goal directly in front of us right now is start operations in Sweden and get some pilots there. So that's basically, you know, I'm not saying no.
I got you. Okay. All right. Like, it sounds like there's a lot riding on Techstars coming through on this.
Well, yeah.
We're on the hook for a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the strategy right now is like Techstars, we realize it's pretty key. And if we can get in through there, we'll be in a really solid spot.
Lewis and his co-founder, Martim, had a lot riding on Techstars. When I dug in, we found out that they were going to let whatever Techstars they got into determine which path they would take, which I thought was odd. Why would they turn down the fundraising momentum they have right now with investors in the US just on the chance they might get into Techstars? That's when I started to wonder if their inability to just make a decision would make the investors in our show start having second thoughts about investing. We called them again a few weeks later, still no decision. It had been 3 months since Lewis pitched on our show. It was getting down to the wire. Finally, just 3 business days ago, Lewis and his co-founder, Martim, gave us a call. Well, hey, guys.
Hello, hello.
So, have you made a decision?
We have made a decision. Do you have a drum roll, like sound effect that you can put in? We have decided that we are going to go do the Delaware C Corp.
What?
Yes.
Yes, so, yes.
Woo. So tell me, how did you come to that conclusion? Because I think the last time we spoke, I wasn't sure which way you were going to go.
Neither were we.
Yeah, we were just very confused. We just had to put everything on the table, look at both scenarios. And also there was a lot of confusion in the US side that related to like costs and right. How is it going to work and how do you do that? So after talking with the lawyer that Elizabeth suggested, she clarified some things and then she made us talk with a CPA, so like a tax specialist, and then he clarified the other end of the things. And then both, we just looked again at the scenarios, consider our options, and we thought, like, with the potential that the pitch is going to have and also the connections of the U.S. investors, we just decided that it was the best decision.
So, like, what did it come down to? Was it just, it wasn't as complex as you originally feared?
Oh, no, it's complex.
It is complex. But at least we have a clear understanding now of what the steps are, what the cost will be. Like that CPA we talked to, this guy was like, you're going to have to fill out form this and this form. You guys have more than X percent ownership that's outside of the US. So you're going to have to do this thing and you're going to have to do that thing. And like the cost per entity that you tie from outside the US to the Delaware C Corp is going to be this and like blah, 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 blah. Right.
Wow.
Like.
Yeah.
So everything was very clear. And without that uncertainty, like, yeah, the costs are they're not negligible.
Well, would you mind, what is the cost on a yearly basis to be a Delaware C Corp?
Per subsidiary, it's approximately 10K per each. It can go up to 10K.
Got it. So a month from now, you've got all the funds raised. You know, maybe you're in Techstars, maybe you're not. Like, what does the business look like? What are you guys doing next?
Well, we are currently interviewing people for multiple roles, right? So we have a data scientist role. We have a cloud or backend engineer role that we are interviewing for. And we have a mathematical optimization engineer role.
Lewis, you've come a long way from listening to the Pitch podcast and muttering to yourself the responses to questions you heard on our show.
Yes. No, I've traveled halfway across the world, almost fainted in your studio and gave you guys a heart attack and kept the suspense up. And now this is the conclusion. So feels good.
This is great. Obviously, I'm excited for this to be the first investment out of the fund. I'm really excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, I think.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. 2023 is the year.
Listeners, I've been waiting for a long time to be able to say this on the show. If you are interested in investing in Tether alongside the investors on our show, go to pitch.show/tether and fill out the form. You'll be the first to know as soon as that C-Corp exists. And we'll have details on terms, who invested, all that jazz. There, you can also sign up for our brand new newsletter, The Pitch Insider, where you'll learn more about Tether's new job postings and get updates on their progress. Again, that's all at pitch.show/tether.
If you guys are listening, the listeners, invest.
Thank you for listening to the first episode of our comeback season. For a literal taste of next week's pitch, stay tuned after the credits. The pitch is me, Josh Muccio, Lisa Muccio, Carrie Ann Thomas, Anna Ladd, and Enoch Kim. Special thanks to Kareem Maddox, the only podcast producer to leave our show to be in the Olympics twice. Love you, Kareem. Music in this episode is from The Musemaker, Breakmaster Cylinder, Fairing, Jupiter, Imagine Nostalgia, Memory Palace, Anders, and Our Many Stars. Also, this season, we're doing another brand new thing, videos from the Pitch Room. Follow us on Instagram at The Pitch Show to see what our investors actually look like. The Pitch is made in partnership with the Vox Media Podcast Network. Next week on The Pitch,
we're coming after Heinz.
I thought we would do something fun this season. If you want, you can taste test next week's pitch with the investors on our show.
You have ketchup, you have barbecue at the top, and then you have an Old Bay style hot sauce called our Chesapeake Fire.
The Chesapeake one's good.
I really like the sauces.
Thank you very much.
Which was your favorite?
I maybe the spicy one.
The Chesapeake one.
I'm a Sweet Baby Ray's guy, and that barbecue sauce right there, I would take that any day.
Next week's pitch is fire. If you want to taste the sauce along with our investors, head to pitch.show/sauce. See you next Wednesday. The Pitch Inc. and their respective employees and affiliates do not provide investment advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided on this show should not be used as the basis for making investment decisions. Listeners should conduct their own research and consult with their own investment advisors before making any investment decisions. This episode of The Pitch is brought to you exclusively by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's where State Farm Small Business Insurance comes in. State Farm agents are small business owners themselves, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.